Would you join me in prayer? Gracious God, may the words spoken here today speak to each of us. God, that I would be less and you would be more. That you would use the words that come from my mouth to bring good news, to bring hope, to bring joy. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle in them the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit and they shall be created, and you shall renew the face of the earth. O God, who by the light of the Holy Spirit did instruct the hearts of the faithful, grant that by that same Holy Spirit we may be truly wise and ever enjoy his consolations. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Whew. We continue now with the second and third parts of the very first sermon that was ever preached after the ascension, which is when Jesus was taken to heaven. That is the 40 days after he walked the earth, after he rose from the dead. So let's take a moment and let's paint a picture of how we got here. Let's go back to David. David is the second king of Israel. He is called a man after God's own heart. He was promised by God that a descendant of his would sit on the throne. Of course, that descendant is Jesus. Sometime later, we come to Jesus, who's born of the Virgin Mary, born in a stable. And then at a young age, we see Jesus in the temple. He's teaching the teachers. Later, Jesus is baptized in the Jordan by John, which begins his formal ministry. Jesus then lives a perfect life. No sin, not even one. Zip, zero, zilch, nada. Not one sin. Jesus has 12 disciples. These disciples follow him. They learn from him. They eat with him. They try to understand everything that Jesus has taught them. They hang on his every word. They wrestle with what he says. They've watched him turn water into wine. They've seen him heal the blind, the lame, the broken. They've watched him raise people from the dead. They watched him heal the hearts of so many. They watched him feed thousands with next to nothing. They watched him walk on water. They watched him calm a storm. They watched him catch a lot of fish. They watched Jesus teach the masses using parables, stories, and real life examples. He holds the first communion. Matter of fact, he is communion. He is the fulfillment of Old Testament scriptures and prophecy. And really, the list of who Jesus is goes on and on. At the end, he washes his disciples' feet. And he tells them, do the same. He predicts the future, which then stops the disciples in their tracks. When he says that I will die, I will be put to death. And then three days later, I will rise. And you know, they really didn't believe him. However, that is exactly what happens. Jesus is put to death. He's put to death on a cross made of wood. The death is reserved for criminals, a symbol made for cruel punishment, made of wood. Brutal, barbaric, bloody, gory. His crime, loving his children and teaching them the holy way, the godly way, the righteous way, which was no crime at all. So there on this cross hung Jesus. Upon Jesus hangs our sins. The sins of all who receive his gift of salvation. The sins that are then thrust on Jesus are the sins that we did not want to commit. They're also the sins we did want to commit. And every sin in between. The greeds, the lusts, the stealing and coveting, the drunkenness, the abuse, the hatred and rage, and even the sins that we don't know we've committed. They're laid on the perfect Son of God, who was fully God and fully man. After he died, he's placed in a grave, and it's not his grave, it's a borrowed grave. But he's only there for a short time. For 3 days later, he comes back to life. He overcomes hell, he overcomes death, and comes back to walk on the earth for 40 days. He walks again with his disciples and a few other people before he ascends to heaven. But before he leaves, before he goes to heaven, he says, wait. For a few days, I'm going to send you someone. And 10 days later, after he ascends, the Holy Spirit comes in the event known as Pentecost. All right. Fire is visibly seen resting on the disciples' heads, but they're not being burned. They're speaking in tongues, which means that the disciples are speaking a language that they don't know or that they don't actively speak. They're speaking these languages, and the people that are gathered from all over the known world come with their different languages, but yet they're able to understand what the disciples are speaking in their own native tongue. Not only is it a miracle of tongues, but it's a miracle of ears as well. Then that brings us to Acts 2, 14 through 21, which is the first part of the first sermon that was preached after Jesus goes to heaven and the Holy Spirit has come at Pentecost. Pentecost happens to be happen right during the festival of Passover. Very good. It's a youth pastor thing in me. If I'm not getting a response, I'm feeling like you're sleeping. So participation is great. All right. The Passover, which originally happened when the Israelites were in slavery. And what happened? God says, sacrifice a lamb with no spots on it, which is a perfect lamb, and take its blood and put it on the doorpost. Because tonight, what happens? The angel of death is coming, and he will pass over your house and not kill you or any of the firstborn livestock or humans in your house that are male. So the Passover happens. This is what is being celebrated when Pentecost comes. So now, come back to Peter. We see Peter, along with the other 11 disciples, get up in front of a group during Passover. And he starts by defending those who are speaking in tongues and their own language, or being heard in their own language. And he says, what? It's 9 a.m. They're not drunk. Listen to what's going on. You're understanding. Peter continues, and then it's like he has a three-part sermon, and he wraps up the first part of the sermon with Acts 2:21. This is right before what we're going to read today. It says, and everyone, say it with me if you know, and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Say it with me. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. At this point, we can only speculate what was going on in the minds and in the hearts of those who are listening. However, we can hear these words today and take great hope in them. These are powerful words. If you are a Christ follower, if you are a Christian, if you believe in Christ, if you have received him, or maybe even if you're someone who's just trying to figure it all out, these words are words of life. They bring peace. They bring encouragement. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. If these words don't do anything for you at all, if they don't touch your spirit today, when you hear them, I think you're either thinking about lunch or playing a game on your phone today. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That's great news, not only for Christians, but for the unbeliever, for someone trapped in sin. This is good news for new believers, for workaholics, for the lazy. This is great news for Democrats. This is great news for Republicans. Friends, this is great news for you, and this is great news for me. It's also bad news for those who never believe, because there are eternal consequences for not calling on the name of the Lord. May we be those who call on the name of the Lord wherever he calls us to. Peter then, starting in verse 22, continues with the second and third part of this first sermon. Hear these words from Acts 2:22-41. Fellow Israelites, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, by wonders, and by signs, which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God's deliberate plan and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible. Hear that, it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. Now, quoting Old Testament, David said about him, I saw the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand. I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest in hope. Because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead. You will not let your Holy One, that's Jesus, see decay. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence. This is part three of the sermon here. Fellow Israelites, I can tell you confidently that the patriarch David died and was buried, and his tomb is here today. He was a prophet and knew God had promised him on oath that he would place one of his descendants, one of David's descendants, on the throne. Seeing what was to come, he spoke of the resurrection of the Messiah, that he was not abandoned to the realm of the dead, nor did his body, Jesus' body, see decay. God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses to that. Exalted to the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and has poured out what you now see and hear. Quoting David again, for David did not ascend to heaven, yet he said, the Lord said to my Lord, or God said to Jesus, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. Therefore, let all of Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart. And they said to Peter and to the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. With many words he warned them, and he pleaded with them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Those who accepted this message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let me tell you this and be very transparent. I wrestled this week with this passage in such a bizarre way. Many nights was into the morning trying to understand all that was kind of happening here. If you were to come here and look at my notes, I had to take the passage and completely break it down to try to just get a visual of what has happened here. When we're bouncing back and forth between Old Testament quotes and what is happening.